Hello and welcome back to Let's Grow Girls, the podcast where we bring you flowers, flowers, flowers. I can't believe we're on episode 9 of season 2. Season 2, episode 9. And I don't want to jump ahead.
Stop saying it.
What have you been up to this week then, in this week of episode 9 occurring?
You said it again. I have been up to not much, actually. I have started a new job. Thrilling. So actually the garden's taken a bit of a backseat. But I have been lovingly doting on my soil blocks. And I did get sprouts on my birthday. Yay!
Woo whoop!
It was very exciting.
I loved that video. I hope everybody who follows us on Instagram had the pleasure of watching you singing your birthday song.
I'm a bit disappointed in you, Nicole. I sent that to you on WhatsApp in confidence.
Don't you even lie to me. I asked you if I could post it and you said it was okay. Don't come that one
but
with me.
I didn't really expect it to end up on Instagram. I mostly sent it to you as like a flower friend out of love. Like, it was never designed to be on the internet, but I guess you're all my flower friends, so it's fine.
And just be grateful I don't share the pictures of you in your face mask whilst you're editing the podcast.
Thank you. So kind. What have you been up to in the garden this week? Go on, tell me all about it.
Lots more seed sowing, just generally getting stuff a bit more ready, you know. It's we've had lovely weather here this weekend, and I just hope it continues for a bit longer.
What seeds have you been sowing?
I have been sowing stocks, nigella, the Breezer Maxima that you sent me.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. A couple of other things I can't remember, but I ran out of trays, so I had to go and buy some more. So that's where it all stopped. But I will be back on it this week. I've got more stocks to sow. And then I'm trying to hold off all the other stuff until we start the grow along so we can all do it together.
But do you know what would solve your problems, Nicole?
I know. Soil blocking.
Fine, take my punchline.
No, I was looking so jealously at how many you could fit on a tray, and I'm thinking I'm gonna have to join this seed blocking revolution.
But do you know the problem with soil blocking, Nicole?
What's the problem with soil blocking, Sarah?
You can't post pictures of it on Instagram, because if you do, all you get are hundreds of comments about how they look like chocolate brownies.
They do, especially when you've got the, are you using vermiculite or perlite? It looks like
hazelnuts. Yeah, and people are like, oh, it's like,
they look like
it looks like hazelnuts on top. And I'm like, yeah, it's very true. You all are incredibly hungry, because all I'm getting is messages about how they look like brownies.
I love that. And now it's making me hungry. So before I get too hungry, what if we got on today's episode?
Very wise, Nicole. Tell me about today's episode. Who do we have?
Today, we have Brenna from Three Brothers Blooms over in the Pacific Northwest, again, across the pond.
Say that three times fast. You really struggled there.
Three Brothers Blooms. Named because of her three boys, which is very sweet.
Aww. And we are interrogating Brenna today. Well, I mean, that's a bit harsh, but we are politely questioning Brenna today on the topic we most get asked about. Well, it's one of the top ones, definitely, which is foliage and filler.
And let's hear from the lady herself. Hi, Brenna, and welcome to the podcast. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. So excited.
We're so pleased to have you here today. You've got an absolutely beautiful farm.
Oh, thank you.
Would you like to tell us a bit about how you got the farm started?
Sure. It started quite by accident, actually. I, through my job, got to bring home a bunch of flowers and starts and seeds, and of course was going to get started planting them. I'd never planted anything from seeds. This was back in 2019. So I got the Cut Flower Garden book and gave it a go. And my boys showed surprising interest in helping with the seed sowing and getting growing. And our first season was all about experiments, and we pretty much gave away everything we grew. It was a lot of fun, and I think we were all surprised with how much we enjoyed it. And my oldest son asked if we could do a farmer's market the next year. So last year we kind of stepped it up a level and tried our hand at the farmer's market, and things just grew. And it's been an amazing experience with my kids and has really taught them a lot on the aspect of hard work, and what you put into it is what you get out of it. And we have this amazing cut flower garden in our backyard now.
And how big is your space?
I live on 2.5 acres. I think my back...
That's some backyard.
Yeah. some of it's the front yard. I'm not sure how much space I use. Maybe a quarter to half an acre is what we use for the growing. It keeps expanding, which I'm sure every flower gardener knows that you keep expanding. You're like, oh dear, where can I put these roses? Oh gosh, now I need to grow dahlias. Oh, let's put in a pumpkin patch. Oh wait, we need some more tunnels. And you just keep growing and growing. So I'm sure we'll hit our property border soon, but yeah.
And how old are your boys?
13, 11, and 6.
Oh wow, so they've really got into it.
Oh yeah, yeah. The 13-year-old was really into it a couple years ago, and he was somewhat into it last year at the farmer's market, and now he's kind of in that teenage years where he pops out every now and then. But my 11-year-old...
Can you just discover video games?
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Yes, that's definitely where his interests now lie. Luckily, my 11-year-old's still 100% about the garden. He asked for a tool belt for Christmas a couple years ago, and he's out there every dawn with me. Aww. And works into the night with me, and... Yeah,
oh, he definitely sounds like he could be Sarah's bestie. That's what she got for Christmas last year.
Oh my gosh, yes. He says he wants to take over the farm someday. So yeah, it's exciting.
Aww.
So what kind of things do you grow on the farm?
The first year we just started with annual cutting flowers, and then we added in some pumpkins and sunflowers, and I'm up to 76 different varieties of roses now. Kind of got a little crazy wow. with those. I think we have about 80 varieties of peonies, tons of dahlias. I grew 500 what? Dahlias last year. Yeah, it just keeps growing. it just keeps growing.
You went big quick. Like,
yeah, it did. Yeah. It happened really That's fast. Mad. We also went from 0 to 28 chickens in about 6 months. So that was crazy.
Oh, you are
too.
A girl after my own heart. You're going to do something. Do it properly.
Go whole hog.
Yes. Exactly.
I love that. It's definitely, I keep talking about getting chickens here, but I've had a bad experience with my dog and a bird. So I'm reluctant to get any chickens in, but that's my dream.
Yeah, I have 3 dogs, and 2 of them are amazing with the chickens, and then 1 of them is absolutely not. So I keep her separated at all times from the chickens. Yeah.
Little terrors, aren't they? But what kind of dogs do you have?
I have a Greater Swiss Mountain Dog. He's about 130 pounds. I'm not sure what that is in kilos. And then I have
a
German Shepherd. Yes, she's about 100 pounds also. And then I have a little pit bull terrier that showed up in our yard one day, and we've kept her ever since. And she's
They're
just
my favorite. Yeah. I love those.
Oh, her personality.
We don't get them here.
She's so good.
So of all the flowers that you grow, what would you say is your favorite?
Oh, gosh. If I had to narrow down my favorites, it would probably be peonies. Pansies. I've become absolutely obsessed with pansies. And
you know, we did hear from a little birdie named Marin that you were slightly obsessed with pansies.
Yes, yes. They've managed to take over my life in a way, I guess, in a good way. It's good. I have I think 67 varieties of pansies I'm growing this year.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, I've kind of made it a mission to see how long I can get their stems. I love using them in cut flower bouquets. And last year I got some 14 and 15 inch stems. So
that's a lot of pansies.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes.
Wow. We'll
you don't usually think of pansies as a cut flower flower.
No, I never did up until just this last year when Erin at Floret Flower did her article on pansies as cut flowers, and I tried to grow some stems out, and they grew beautifully, and they last a week in a vase, and they smell, which I never knew pansies had a fragrance, because they're always so tiny on the ground and, you know, in landscaping. Oh, wow. But they smell beautiful.
Yeah, they're so far away.
What do they smell like?
Who wants to bend down that low? But yeah, it's they have a lovely fragrance, and they're just, I just love them, their faces. So
talk to us a bit about how you grow them. I'm interested to know how you get such a long stem.
So I grow mine, and it's interesting because they always say pansies prefer shade, full shade or half shade, and mine, oddly, are growing in a raised flower bed in the middle of my garden, so they get full sun. But it is raised on the sides, so they have about 4 inches around of the bed itself, the wooden bed, and I think it has them. They're very close together, not because I'm smart, but because I am obsessive with growing way more than I have space for. So I cram everything in as tight as it'll fit and just give it lots of love. But I think because they're so close for support, and then having those sides to reach up towards the light and the sun, they just grow and they get these fantastic, long, long kind of vining stems.
So how close are you planting them together?
Pretty much as close as they'll fit. They reseed really beautifully out here. I can't speak to other climates, but for us, they reseed every year and come back, and I don't ever thin them. And then when I plant out new varieties, I really just tuck them in where I can find space, and they just flourish. My one nemesis is slugs.
In.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And you don't... You're not planting them yourself from seed. You're just letting them self-seed.
No, I do seeds as well. So I plant seed trays as well. And then when they do self-seed, though, I don't pull them out unless I decide I don't like the variety very well. And then I'll just thin out so I have more of a variety in the bed.
Oh, cool. And do they still grow tall even in their like second, third years?
Yeah, so the ones I had last year that got the longest stems were actually my second year pansies. They were a black pansy that I had planted the year previous that overwintered. A lot of them overwinter, which I didn't know that either. And some of them even bloom in the winter. So it's kind of been intriguing for me, and it kind of opened a rabbit hole, and I just want to learn everything about them now and test all the theories. And it's fascinating.
Oh no, I feel like you've added another flower to my list.
Because it must be specific varieties. Can we get those varieties here in the UK? Like, what's your favorite variety?
Oh, Chianti. So far, Chianti is my favorite variety. It's so beautiful with the ruffles and the colors.
I'm writing that down.
Yes, it's absolutely gorgeous. I've actually ordered a lot of my pansy seeds from the UK. And I know Italy puts out some really beautiful pansies as well. But this kind of, that's my thing this year, is I really want to see, is it the way I'm growing them, or is it the variety in particular that gets those longer stems? So that'll be my trial and error this year. And I'll be sure to report back and post lots of photos and kind of let people know what does and doesn't work.
Oh, definitely. We want to know.
Yeah,
more.
Please report back.
I feel like there's such a underappreciated flower. I feel like they need a revival. I think they were so big in the Victorian era and before that. And I think that bringing them back as a cut flower is something they're due for, a little bit of spotlight on them.
Oh, definitely. I really like how much variation you get with some of them. I think a lot of people think they're going to be those purples or yellows, you know, just like the bright kind of almost like a viola. But I've seen around there's a lot more of the kind of vintagey, muted shades, which is unusual, I think, but they're there if you hunt for them, aren't they?
Oh, but well, you definitely have to hunt for them. And I think that's the crazy thing, is I, for the longest time, didn't like pansies. I just had always seen them in landscaping, and I felt that they were just so generic. You see red, you see yellow, you see purple, like you talked about, but nothing that grabs you. And finding all these new colors and these almost like watercolor brush strokes and shades of blushes and rose pinks and blacks, the black pansies with these big ruffles. I'm just madly in love with them. And there's so many colors and so many variations now. And yeah, bringing in the fact that you might be able to include them in actual bouquets and vases is just, yeah, I've gone overboard.
You get a black flower.
Have you never seen a black pansy?
Yeah, I've seen a black pansy, but you don't find... I've never seen one in real life. I've seen them in your pictures, but I've never seen a real life one.
Oh, they are...
You don't often see a black flower in general, do you?
No, they're hard to find. And they are... A lot of them, they say black, like the dahlias. They'll say black dahlia, but it's really just a very deep shade of purple or deep shade of red. But these pansies are, they are black. They are through and through the most rich, velvety black that I've ever seen in a color. And then it is on the flower petal. They're really amazing. Really beautiful, especially when you mix them with creams and blushes or some deep burgundies. Oh, yeah.
And when you're growing them from seed, what are you doing? Because last year I tried to grow some called, I think they were called Mystique Peach or something like that, and I just had no success from them. They started and then they just wimped out.
I have found that my pansies like kind of a moderately warm temperature. I don't usually put them on heat mats. They usually take about 7 to 10 days for me to germinate, and they do like darkness, so you do want to cover them with a light layer of soil, but not too deep because the seeds are so tiny. And then I just keep them moist and with that little layer of dirt over to make sure that they have some darkness, and they usually all germinate within 7 to 10 days.
And do you germinate them at, do you have some sort of indoor germination?
Yeah, I just put them on shelves. They don't even need grow lights because they like the darkness to germinate. And then as soon as they pop through, I move them out into my unheated greenhouse because pansies are really cold hardy. They're actually out there right now and they're just flourishing. They will get really leggy if they don't have enough light once they've germinated. So as soon as their little tiny first leaves come through, I put them out in full light because they can handle a little bit of cooler temps.
What time of year do you normally start them?
They're one of my first things I start. My pansies and my Iceland poppies all get started in January.
Oh, your Iceland poppies. Yeah. They're gorgeous as well.
They are gorgeous.
My arch nemesis.
They can be tricky. I had three varieties I tried this year, and one did not love me back. But the other two are flourishing, so I'm okay.
I'm waiting for another seed packet to arrive. I'm determined that this year I'm going to have some, but I'm not holding my breath.
They're tricky. They're moody. And a lot of times I've even had some where they've started and they've done great. And then as soon as I get to the point where I'm about to transplant them, they just kind of check out on me. So yeah, they're a tricky one.
I'm too scared to try them.
Oh, you're too scared to try them?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm honest, the main reason I'm trying them again for the third year in a row is because Marin bullied me.
That sounds exactly like Marin. 100%. Yes,
we had the call with her, and then she messaged me afterwards as well to say I'm just planting mine now, so I felt like I had to add them into the basket.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
do this, Nicole.
You'll get them.
I've got faith
in
you.
They'll flourish for you.
I like the positivity, ladies.
But the main topic on today's agenda is one that we get asked about all the time, and that is filler and foliage. No pressure. Oh, do you have any top favorite fillers? Share them with us. Come on.
Oh, gosh. You know, that's the one thing. Honestly, every year I feel like when I look back and people think or ask me, you know, oh, what do you wish you did different or what do you want to plant more of? Or I even ask myself, it's always fillers. It always comes back to I feel like not having enough fillers. And I even wrangled my sister into flower farming. And she honestly, I think, would be content growing all fillers. She's so in love with them, and I need to be harnessing some of her energy there. But I think my favorites, I'm growing more eucalyptus, and that was a big experience last year because it's kind of touchy and it's actually overwintering so far, although we'll see what happens after the snow. Probably my favorite filler is phlox, which I almost think deserves its own spotlight. I do tons of bouquets of just phlox alone, but oh man, I put phlox in everything. I absolutely love it. Bunny tails.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, I can't get enough of the bunny tails. bunny tails are so perfect from spring to summer to fall. Sweet peas I use as a filler, although again, they're a fantastic standalone. Cress mm-hmm. is a new one that I really got more into last year. I grew several more varieties and I loved it.
I love cress. Cress is my favorite thing.
It's fantastic. There's so many different shapes and it holds up so beautifully. Yeah, cress I think is the number one have to grow mm-hmm. when you need fillers in your bouquets. Mint. Mm-hmm. I've grown a lot of mint and it does amazing mm-hmm. in bouquets. It just has to be harvested when the stem is kind of turning woody. And it can get very invasive. Mm-hmm. So if you're growing mint, be sure you contain it or it will go everywhere. What are my other favorite mm-hmm. fillers? Lavender. I put a lot of lavender in my bouquets.
I love lavender.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do you use the French mm-hmm. lavender or the English lavender?
What is the one I have?
Or both.
I think it's Spanish lavender, actually, is the one that I'm using. It has a different shape, but it's just, I love putting stuff in my bouquets that also add more fragrance in addition to the flowers. That herby kind of earthy fragrance is something that I love. And raspberry greens. I think you can never have enough raspberry greens in your bouquets. I think they're so beautiful. So yeah, those are probably my favorites so far.
Can we circle back to the phlox?
Absolutely.
I want to talk varieties.
Let's talk phlox.
I had not a lot of success with it last year because they got razored by the slugs.
Oh man.
The slugs.
Everyone's favorite garden pest.
I'm actually getting two ducks this year because our slugs are so terrible.
I told my husband I wanted a duck for that, for the exact reason.
Yeah,
that's he looked at me like I was nuts. But...
Oh. My husband jumped on board. I don't know why. He never normally does with more animals, but yeah, he was like, all right, let's bring in some ducks. So yeah, we're going to get a couple ducks and they're going to be loose in my little flower garden every day and hopefully keep
and
those slugs at bay. Yeah.
So did you grow quite a few different varieties of phlox?
Yeah, my first year I only grew a few and I was so in love with them and in love with the smell. And I know phlox can be dodgy for some people, but it flourished for me, I think, out of pure happenstance. I'm pretty sure it had nothing to do with my skill level. And then last year, I grew a lot more varieties and was kind of able to figure out the colors I didn't like as much. Some of the colors I felt like just wasn't really working with the palette I prefer to use. And so this year, I kind of honed back into my favorites again, which are, as I'm
cherry
sure you're probably
caramel wondering. By any chance?
Yes, love cherry caramel. Creme brulee is probably my all time favorite, and dulce de leche. Those three are my absolute head over heels. I will have just bouquets of those in my house at all times. And then sugar stars, and that one's more of a purple, but I loved that one last year. And the blooms themselves actually kind of shape like stars. So even just standalone or in other work, it's kind of a purple and white mix. That one was beautiful. So that one is a keeper as well. But they are, and especially the creme brulee and dulce de leche, I've noticed, are sometimes hard to germinate. So I usually plant extra of them, just knowing not all of them are going to come through. But I do both seed trays and direct sowing. And although direct sowing definitely takes longer, I've had both of them come up pretty well.
They like darkness as well, don't they?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
And how many plants do you reckon you grow of the phlox?
Oh, gosh. I usually sow at least three flats full of them. And I fill almost a full bed. My garden beds are 4 feet by 10 feet. And we fill a lot. And it's actually that flower is my 11-year-old's favorite. He'll go out in the mornings and he'll harvest the whole bed of phlox and just bring me in buckets for use. So, yeah, it smells amazing.
Do you find it to be cut and come again, or is it
absolutely no, it definitely it cuts and it goes all season as soon as it comes into bloom. In fact, that was the ones that I still had blooming into the fall. Is the phlox was one of the last ones in my garden to finally die back.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I need it this year.
You need it.
I'm determined to conquer it. Did you grow any, Sarah?
I did. I grew like a mix. Like how long they last in the vase is amazing. They were every other flower would be dead. And my phlox would still be alive there in the vase, like still going.
Yeah, it's I was surprised. Just kind of on a whim, we did several bouquets at our farmer's market of just phlox, just because we loved it so much. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised at how many people had never seen it before and how many people loved it. We sold mm-hmm. all our bouquets really quickly. It just has such a lovely smell and it lasts so long in a vase.
Mm. I think lots of people have seen the perennial phlox growing in gardens, but the annual phlox is just so different, isn't it? And I just, it's not really common and I don't know why.
Yeah, I think it's to me, it's kind of a lighter, airier flower. It looks more delicate, but it's so hardy when you cut it. I think it's a little harder to grow than the perennial, maybe. Might be intimidating to some people, but yeah, I grow it every year. I could never imagine not having it in my garden.
Talking of the perennial phlox, I was given a root cutting by someone who's got a big plant in a house near me, and I potted it up and I put it in my back garden, and I went out to look for it yesterday to see how it was doing, and it blew away in the storm, and I'm really upset. I know.
Oh, no.
It was this beautiful white perennial perennial phlox that smells beautiful. And I was so excited because I was like, oh, I finally got my own perennial phlox. But it's just gone. I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, no.
That's so sad and tragic.
That's a sad story.
I know. It's so sad. And I am like, I'm embarrassingly sad about it as well. I've been mourning for a day.
I would mourn if my pot of phlox blew away.
I think you mentioned you're growing a few more eucalyptus this year, and it's definitely like my kind of ride or die foliage. I just love it with everything. What types are you growing?
I planted Nichols willow last year, and that has overwintered, and it's still going, which is fantastic because I know depending on the climate, eucalyptus can be difficult once the temps cool, but it's been doing great. And then this year I added in baby's blue and small-leaved gum. And then I have I'm going to not remember this name. I have a variety I keep in my greenhouse, but I want to say it's like Dolphin's Moonlight Lagoon. I'll have to look it up. It's something fantastic.
That's an usual name.
And it likes to be warmer, so I keep it in my greenhouse year-round, but it is just absolutely beautiful. And it smells, the smell of eucalyptus, that's another thing I love. It smells amazing. It's kind of a silvery blue color.
You can't beat the smell of eucalyptus. I was doing some flower arranging yesterday and my hands, I've had a shower and my hands still smell like eucalyptus.
Oh, it's such a wonderful smell.
And you were saying about the herby type things that you like to put in bouquets. I really love rosemary. Do you ever use that?
No, I never have.
It grows really tall and it's got really unusual. It's almost like a fir in its... you know, how its foliage goes. It's definitely a winner for me, rosemary. I use so much of that all year.
Oh, really, I'll have to grow some rosemary. I've even tried oregano and basil, but I haven't tried that one yet.
I have tried that. And like you, I really like lavender as well.
Yeah, it's nice. I think it's just nice bringing in those different smells and textures. Yeah, I love adding that kind of herbally smell into the background with the flowers.
I tried some sage in my bunches last summer, and then it looked beautiful, but it smelt like a Christmas dinner. So I had to stop doing that.
Sage is one of my favorite herbs to eat and to put into cocktails and to make with bread. But it definitely has a distinct smell. So I have to be careful which bouquets I put it in.
It's definitely a bit roasted in me. I think that's the only thing. It's with using herbs, isn't it? You could almost cross a line there.
That's funny.
So you mentioned the 76 varieties of roses. I wanna talk about that. How did you go from not being a flower farmer to all of a sudden having a field of roses, essentially?
I've always loved plants and roses. I think the idea of a cutting garden had never even been in my realm of consciousness. It just wasn't something I really ever considered. I'd always done landscaping. So I've always had, you know, a few rose bushes here and there. But when it's landscaping, you kind of don't want to cut them because now your landscaping looks sad. So it was always that love hate. But once I started doing the garden, I was like, ooh, cutting garden, I can bring in more roses. And the more roses I brought in, the more I loved them and loved them. And out here, black spot is really common. I took a rose class last year, and they basically said, if you're growing roses in Washington, you're going to have it, and don't let it defeat you. And it usually doesn't affect the blooms. So that was kind of a nice thing to hear, because it can be discouraging when you see the leaves not looking great and you think, oh, I'm failing miserably and I'm not good at growing this variety. But once you get past that, you just have to kind of let some things go depending on your weather. And it was true that the blooms themselves are stunning. And so I would grow them in the smells, and I would walk in my garden and walk by these roses, and it just, I kept going back to them, and I kept adding more and adding more. And then I would fall in love with these colors, and then I'd find more by smell. And then I thought, well, I need climbing roses. I'm going to encircle my whole garden in roses, and started clearing out more of my cutting beds to put in more roses. And colors too, I'm realizing, you know, I have such a favorite palette that I stick to. And so I've been trying to push myself into getting roses of different colors as well, just because I feel like down the road, my palette taste may change and I'll regret having an entire garden of blush, pinky, peachy, ivory gloriousness, which is kind of where my heart is now.
I don't think that's
now.
Possible.
I know.
I don't think it's possible to fall out of love with colors like that.
Yeah, you have to make a conscious effort, I think, sometimes to vary what you're planting when you're so in love with certain shades at a certain time. But yeah, so I've been hunting and I've found a lot of rare roses and a lot of old roses. And yeah, I'm really excited to see them all kind of get mature and bloom in the next couple of years.
I saw one on your feed the other day. I think it was called Queen of Elegance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is a gorgeous color.
She is beautiful. I have a nursery. There's a nursery on the island as I drive home, which is dangerous. I live right next to a nursery that I drive by every day. And then Christian's nursery, which is my favorite nursery in the whole world, is just minutes from my work. So it's very dangerous for a flower farmer to have two major beautiful nurseries in my travel path every single day. But last year I was driving home and that little voice popped in and said, oh, you should stop and buy another rose. So of course I'll stop and buy another rose. And it was just sitting there. I'd never heard of it. And there it was with three perfect blooms. And it's kind of that plummy purple on the outside with almost an antiqued center. And home with me it came. And now all my friends are getting it because they're like, what?
Where did this come from? And it was like, take me home.
Yes, it was definitely a divine intervention of my flower angels that, yeah, I happened upon that one. But she's fantastic. Yeah.
She called to you.
She did. The queen called to me. Yeah.
Yes. It's like when you hear a cake in the cupboard. It was the rose calling to you as you're driving past.
I'm lucky if my cakes make it into the cupboard. They usually get eaten before they even make it in.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't put them away. I just eat them.
Yes.
So, going back to your sister who loves growing filler flowers, what are her top filler flowers if she is the queen of filler flowers?
So she's in California, completely different growing environment than me.
Okay.
I know she loves black-eyed Susan. And I believe she loves cress.
Your sister's great.
She's given up on dahlias altogether, which is funny. I had to give her a hard time for that. What other ones are her favorites?
Why did she give up on dahlias?
She has a really hard time with little pesky critters. The pesky critters come and eat all the rabbits and the little mice and the moles, and just where she lives in California, they just get at her stuff and the bugs. The bugs really got at her dahlias last year. So I think critter control for her pushed her over the edge with the dahlias. But
My husband always talks about moving to California. But if I had to give up dahlias to move to California, I'm not sure I can.
You'll just have to learn good critter control. And it may be where she's at too, particularly where she lives. But her fillers flourish. And she loves zinnias, which again, I feel like zinnias are one of those, can be a filler, but are also kind of a spotlighter. But yeah, Celosia does amazing down there for her in California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they've got the dry climate, haven't they? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to grow them so much in a tunnel.
Yeah, up here you really need kind of supplemental heat for them, either greenhouses or hoop houses. I tried mine in the open garden last year and they did okay. Mm-hmm. They kind of started to really come into bloom right at the end of my season. But I love Celosia. Yeah, I wish I could grow it sooner. We just don't have the heat for it where I am.
We're coming into spring bulb season at the moment. Have you got many tulips and daffodils on their way?
I planted a few thousand by accident.
Just a few thousand.
It's again, I think, oops. So I was told this fantastic advice of buy the bulbs when you see them bloom. So that's something that I've learned to do. You know, when I see these flowers blooming, the narcissus or the tulips that I love, that's when I go online and buy them for the next season. That's usually when you find the best selection is that time of year. Yeah, it was great advice. And I usually am able to get stuff but sell it before it sells out. And then, you know, you get it in time to do your fall planting. But you forget. That's the thing. When you buy so far in advance, you forget what you've ordered. And so you just keep ordering and you just keep ordering and you just keep ordering. And then you see a new one and you're like, oh, I need that one. Oh, I need that one. And then come fall, you're sitting here looking at 3,000 bulbs and you're thinking, oh, I need to dig some more beds.
It gives you a longer time to stockpile, doesn't it? That's dangerous.
It is. It really is. I mean, not only just so much time to prepare, but you forget. You forget that you just ordered all those from that company and you're placing a new order with this one. And literally until they arrive and you're staring at your garden thinking, oops, okay, more beds. Here we come. Yeah. But there'll be
gorgeous-
a lot.
Varieties of narcissi last year. I absolutely loved the one called Apricot Whirl.
Isn't that beautiful? I love that one as well.
I couldn't find it here. I think I was a bit late in buying my bulbs this year. I need to take your tip on and start making my list for the next month or so to get
ordering. A lot of bulbs companies, I think they open up in February, so right now into month is a really good time to start hopping in, getting the early bird discounts and snagging those bulbs for next season.
I hadn't thought about that.
I'm growing Winston Churchill this year and I absolutely cannot wait to smell it. Everyone says it smells so good.
I bought those bulbs for my mom last year. That was one of the ones she loved. And yes, it smells divine.
Which other ones do you like? I'm always looking for new ones to add to the list.
Oh, gosh. Some of my favorites. Petite Four is one that I love. Oh, it's a really beautiful variety. Popeye, which not everyone's favorite, but I was surprised at how much I loved Popeye.
I've not heard of that one.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to find, and it was one of my favorites last season. There's a lot. I'm trying to narrow it down now.
I think I saw one last year that I was looking for everywhere this year, and I didn't know the name of it, so I was just kind of looking for one that had a pink or a pinker trumpet. Did you grow any with a pink trumpet?
Yes, and I'm trying to remember. Oh, now I have to search.
Sorry, I'm testing. We're really testing.
I know, my memory. It's like I have to transition my brain because it'll be stuck on peonies and then it'll shift to dahlias and then it'll shift to roses and I have to almost like dig back into the library card file cabinet of my brain into back when I was doing tulips and narcissus, and don't even get me started on ranunculus. Went overboard with those as well this year.
Didn't we all?
It's going to be a beautiful spring. I want to say.
I know. I can't wait.
Oh my gosh. I feel like ranunculus is one of those flowers where when you grow it, you become really addicted. Like you see it and you think it's pretty, but then as soon as you start growing it yourself, that's it. You're done for. The blooms themselves with all those fluffy layered petals are just extraordinary.
Oh, have we found it?
I'm so set on finding that narcissus now. It's going to keep etching at me if I don't.
I think that's the joy probably of ordering it as the season is happening because you're in the mindset. Like I can't really remember which dahlias I loved from last year because it feels like so long ago. So I guess that's the joy of it. You're like, because you're there, you're looking at the peonies, so you know which peonies you want for next year.
Yes. Yeah. I think that was great advice of the whole buy when you see them blooming.
Yeah. The thing I always see that's blooming that I always say I must get that next year. And then when I get around to buying it is Gypsy Queen Hyacinths. They always sell out.
I love those. I planted those last year and they were amazing. The smell was absolutely insane. Absolutely gorgeous.
And I have got zero Gypsy Queen this year because I was just too late getting my act together.
I didn't get any this year either. my fingers are crossed. She's beautiful. My fingers are crossed that some of them will come back from last year, but I actually don't know that much about Hyacinth and how well they come back again. Hopefully some.
Yeah, I know the daffodils will, but I'm not 100% sure on Hyacinths either, if they naturalize like a daffodil does. I mean, Muscari does, so maybe a Hyacinth will.
Nicole, can you remind me to buy these next year, please? Can someone remind me, please? They're amazing.
Remind me as well. I miss them as well.
Are there, going back to filler, sorry, because it's currently on my mind because I'm planning my own filler and foliage patch. Is there anything new you're trying for next year?
Oh, I am trying some new stuff. Flax. I've never tried flax as a filler. So that is a new filler for me this year.
Oh, I'm trying that too.
Oh, are you?
Go us.
We'll have to see how it goes on both sides of the pond. Yes. I'm excited. And I don't know about fragrance. I don't think I looked up if it has a fragrance. So I'm curious to see. I've grown some fillers.
It's like a grass, isn't it? So it doesn't have a...
kind of like a bubbly grass. Yeah. I grew figwort last year and I didn't like the smell. And I know it's got some great qualities, but I couldn't get over how much I didn't like the smell. So I'm not growing figwort this year.
I don't think I've ever smelled that.
Oh, gosh.
Me neither.
See, now my brain is still trying to churn out the varieties of narcissists I ordered, and so I'm trying to shift.
I'm sorry, that's my fault. Like, quick.
What else did quick no, change. I feel like I need to pull. I have spreadsheets because of this reason. So I usually reference my spreadsheets when I can't remember anything that I'm doing. Gosh, what else? More fillers that are new. You know, what's funny is I've never grown straw flower myself. And so I'm growing straw flower this year.
Never.
No, isn't that funny that I've never grown it?
It's like a rite of passage for a flower farmer.
I know. And I think, I don't know why I've never grown it. But then I saw it in person, you know, blooming. And I just thought, what an idiot I've been. Why have I not grown straw flower? So there, that's been added. Oh, and amaranth. I'm absolutely obsessed with amaranth. And I grew a ton of it last year, and I'm growing several more varieties this year. But that's also one
that's
where...
that's a good filler as well,
yes,
isn't it?
I put amaranth in everything as a filler, and even standalone bouquets. I absolutely love it, even just by itself cascading around. I feel like it's a magical flower, like the stuff of fairy gardens, just big amaranth hanging everywhere. But...
so I take it you like the more cascading varieties and the upright ones.
Yeah, I do. I love green tails. And I grew Mira last year. And at first I felt like it was really hard to work with because it gets, you know, kind of the rounder shape and the longer, heavier blooms, I guess you would call them. But then I found this beautiful white porcelain vase from a local potter and randomly stuck my Mira in it. And it was so beautiful. It was absolutely over the moon gorgeous. Mm. And so now Mira is one of my favorites. And I think seeing that photo, actually several other people are now growing it specifically because of how beautiful it looks in a vase like that, just cascading. So, yeah.
I'm growing it this year, but because my niece's name is Mira.
Oh, even better reason.
So, Brenna, no pressure, but we always at this stage of the interview ask our guests if they could share one thing with our listeners, one piece of advice for the year to come, what would it be?
Oh, how is that no pressure? Gosh, one piece of advice.
I know, I said that because it's a bit, but.
Thinking in all the discussions I've had with fellow flower farmers over this past year, because it's been a crazy year in life in general, not even just in the farming world. I think most people, and the reason our discussions come up is just trying to really find that level of comfort and that level of, I guess, balance, if balance is even something you can really achieve. But just getting to that place, I think, where you're able to really fulfill your passion and be happy about it, but still feel like you're, you know, reaching your goals, especially if you're relying on your business financially, and not overextending yourself. I think it's really easy to get caught up with comparison with other people and how they do things. And it's really easy to overextend. And I think it makes it where it takes away that joy and almost makes you forget why you're growing and doing it in the first place, particularly if you're using it as a business and a means of income. So I think really the biggest thing is just setting healthy boundaries and persevering with your passion. I think it's important to keep perspective on why you grow flowers and what you love about it and what you want to get out of your life. And if it's your business, you know, keeping that balance on what you can really manage and not letting that comparison or that fear force you to overextend yourself to a point where you're stressed all the time and you lose that love for it. I think it's important to keep it at a manageable level and always keep that love.
You mean I shouldn't go running out in the middle of the night with a frost cloth and a blanket because I think my ranunculus are going to get frozen? You're saying those kind of boundaries.
I would totally do that. I absolutely do that. I put all kinds of love and blankets on my flowers. I even make my husband get up with me and help sweep the tunnels. Yeah, but I mean, it's, you know, we talked about earlier with growing and how I keep extending my garden. I've even as much as I do, in all seriousness, you know, we will have discussions. Is this something we can take on? Because the more you extend, the more you have to care for. And, you know, there's the harvesting and there's the watering and there's, you know, everything that goes into it. And I just, for me, myself, and for others, it breaks my heart when I see people lose that love and passion because they're so overwhelmed with the stress and anxiety. So I would say set the healthy boundaries, persevere, and keep your passion alive.
So, Nicole, I believe you now know the name of the elusive daffodil. Do tell us.
I do know. And so Brenna sent this to me after we recorded, and I feel like every single episode we've got something we can't pronounce properly, because when I say this word out loud, for all of our British listeners, I feel like I sound like Del Boy from Only Fools and Horses, because it's kind of a French word that said in my accent sounds ridiculous. But it's passionale or passional.
Yeah, give it a good go. One of those has got to be right.
It's passion, A-L-E, passionale.
Oh, God, Nicole.
Terrible. Please don't DM us with the right pronunciation.
We don't need another one of those, please.
That was bad. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry to all our French listeners.
But how amazing is Brenna? Thank you so much, Brenna, for coming on the show.
I love that she's got this kind of like garden farm, you know, that she has her young kids helping her. I just think it's so lovely that she's made it a big family thing. And I need to grow pansies next year.
Yeah, me too. I'm sold. I want black ones.
Black ones sound so interesting, don't they? But we're going to have to have a good research into some of the colour varieties we've got here, because I am desperate. They sound so cool. If you enjoyed our conversation with Brenna, then you definitely want to follow her on Instagram. Her account is amazing and she just posts the most gorgeous flowers that she's grown.
They are so pretty.
Isn't it just everything on there? It's just like another thing on my list that I want. But her account is at Three Brothers Blooms. It's like a tongue twister, isn't it?
I know. It's all the B's. Three Brothers Blooms.
But yeah, she's got some gorgeous things on there. And if you need a little bit of inspiration in your life of what to grow, then you've got to head on over there. I, for one, am not only going to grow those pansies, but I'm also going to, grow that phlox this year. I'm not letting any slugs get it.
Don't let those excuses hold you down. You can do it. Stop blaming those slugs. You are more powerful than them.
Those phlox will be mine.
They will be. I have faith in you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. If you ever need a pep girl, Sarah is your woman.
Oh, just send us a message on Instagram. We are on Instagram at Let's Grow Girls Podcast. Truly, if you ever want to chat about anything flowers, there's two of us, which is two times the pep and pep talk and enthusiasm. One of us, you never know who, but one of us will reply to you and egg you on and it will be glorious. So please, if you're ever like unsure, if you've got a question, send us a quick DM. We love them.
One thing I would say don't contact us for, though, is if you want talking out of it.
Yeah, no, no. Keep that to yourself.
That's not what you come to us for. We're the talk you into it girls. Yeah. Oh, we should just rename the podcast.
Yeah, we are the enabler girls. The let's grow everything girls.
You heard it here.
So thank you again, another week, for listening to us talk about flowers. We've loved having you.
We have indeed. And next week, what's next week, Sarah? The season finale.
Though actually, you're all very welcome, because we're not having a break. We're not having an in-between season break. So next week is the season finale, but then the week after is the grow along. So just, you know, lace up your boots. It's all coming.
Yeah. Hold on to your seat. We are coming at you with no breaks.
Oh God. Thank you so much for listening.
That was bad. Maybe cut that out.
Probably, yeah. You never know what's going to make it in the final edit. As always, thank you so much for your support and for listening. We love you all very dearly. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to be notified of each episode as they arrive some point on Friday afternoon when Sarah eventually finishes editing them.
And we will see you back here next week for, did I mention it as a season finale? Did I tell them that yet, Sarah?
You did, a few times, yep. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. So
you
I'm doing it. Don't interrupt me.
On.
Silence.
Yes, mistress.
Yay!
How's that?
That was 10 out of 10. Do, 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 do. Let's go, girls. Boom, bang, 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 bang. I'm going out tonight. Okay.